Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Plenty of messages coming in on the back of that chat with Professor Karina Butler. And a reminder that if you want to listen back, it'll be available on podcast for you to do so, rte.ie/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. The pandemic has been a very difficult time for pregnant women between decreased maternity and labour access for partners, decisions surrounding the vaccine and fears over COVID placentitis. Well, to talk us through all of this, I'm joined in the studio by Professor Peter McKenna, Director of the HSE National Women and Infants Programme. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. We heard a lot about the risks of stillbirth and COVID placentitis back a couple of months ago in April and March. And we had the sad news then that there were six stillbirths reported with links to COVID-19 infections. Have you got an update for us on that?
There, as you say, there were six stillborn infants. There was also one late miscarriage where the link with COVID placentitis was proven. Since then, there have been several near misses. By that, I mean the baby was detected to be unwell and delivered before it died. Additionally, there has been one very recent case of a sick woman where the baby also died, and that's under investigation at the moment. So it certainly hasn't gone away as a problem.
Okay, and does this tally with the experience in other countries?
There has been an increase in other countries in stillborn babies, and the condition about which we're specifically speaking, COVID placentitis, has been recognised. But I don't know that it has been seen in such numbers as what we're talking about here. That could be because we had an overwhelming number of infections, as you'll remember, early on in the year, and that could have translated into the tragic events of the babies dying.
After that emerged, firstly in April and May, pregnant women were moved up the vaccination list. They were given priority. I think you yourself expressed scepticism about prioritising pregnant women, didn't you?
At that point? Would have been in the same. I would have used the same language that Karina has just used there. They would be offered the vaccine. However, I would categorically state that events since then would suggest that is strengthened to a recommendation, that they should not just consider it, but that they should actually actively seek it.
Okay.
And that's based not only on the COVID placentitis, it's also based on two other things. The first is the rising rate of the Delta variant, and the fact that we do know that if women, pregnant women, are exposed to the Delta variant, they have a higher risk of becoming very unwell. So even at a time when the numbers in intensive care in Ireland were very low, there was a disproportionate number of pregnant women, or women who had recently been pregnant, in intensive care.
Since Delta emerged.
Yes, since Delta, yeah. Okay. And there is good international evidence that the Delta variant will have a more profound adverse effect on pregnant women than the previous variants that we had.
So the recommendation is that pregnant women take the vaccine after 14 weeks.
Correct. And I probably would go even further than that. And I'd say that any woman who is in childbearing age, whether she thinks she is going to get pregnant or not, should get the vaccine in case she does become pregnant.
Mm-hmm. What about women, though, who are in the early stages of pregnancy?
The recommendation here is from 14 weeks on. If somebody were to get the vaccine, as it were, in error before then, I don't think that's a cause for concern. In Israel, for example, they will vaccinate women at any stage of pregnancy. But I think that the advice here is entirely reasonable from 14 weeks on.
Okay. And 36 weeks is the recommendation on the other end.
Yeah.
Have you heard of any adverse outcomes to date on babies or women who've taken the vaccine?
We were notified recently about two women who miscarried following vaccination. However, at this stage, it would appear as if this is not a causal relationship, it's just an association. And given the fact that so many pregnancies do end in miscarriage, it would be a surprise if some women who were vaccinated did not miscarry. But I'm not for a moment suggesting that one is related to the other.
Okay, there is no evidence to make that link.
No.
What has the uptake been like for pregnant women?
The uptake, in some ways, our counting of the uptake was affected by the cyber attack. When we were in a position to count, the uptake was probably in the order of 40%. But since then, I would expect that it has increased considerably because pregnant women are not being vaccinated only in the centres, but also by their general practitioners. So there is a good uptake, but as to how good it is, I couldn't tell you specifically.
I mean, 40% in the context of what we're seeing across the population would suggest that there is a high rate of hesitancy there.
Well, that's the last figure that I can categorically mm-hmm. give you. There is every reason for believing that the figure is much higher now, but I couldn't give you a figure that I could stand over.
Okay, some questions coming in. What about pregnant primary school teachers going back to work with unvaccinated children? So these are the women who have decided not to get vaccinated. Is it safe for them to go back into the classroom?
Well, the first thing I'd have to say is I would encourage them to get vaccinated. It is difficult to understand for me why somebody would opt not to get vaccinated. The arguments for vaccination are very compelling, and I would encourage anybody to get vaccinated.
Okay. How do you respond to the huge number of social media posts and campaigns out there that have linked the COVID vaccine with female infertility?
There isn't the slightest scintilla of evidence that I'm aware of that would suggest that there is any connection whatsoever between vaccination and infertility. If I were an anti-vaxxer and I was trying to scare a young woman, I couldn't think of a better way of scaring them than by calling their fertility into question. In my mind, this piece of nonsense doesn't belong in even the pseudo-scientific box. It belongs in the dangerous nonsense box, like inject yourself with bleach or chlorine. It's awful, it's misleading, and it's dangerous. And as Karina was saying there a while ago, the surveillance of the vaccine internationally is excellent, and there's nothing to suggest that young women will become infertile. There's nothing to suggest that their ovarian function will in any way be adversely affected, nor is there anything to suggest that their fallopian tubal function will in any way. So theoretically, it is virtually impossible to see how this could come about.
It's just the nature of where we are that something like this would gain traction online, and I'm sure you understand that, and people will be reading this. Another question, can you get COVID placentitis and not realise it, or is it only when you feel sick with COVID symptoms?
Well, generally speaking, it is associated with more severe COVID symptoms. But however, the question is not far off the mark, is that it can occur in somebody who doesn't really feel sick. Yeah, that has been noted.
Okay. And people who test positive for COVID, pregnant women, they're obviously being assessed for COVID placentitis. I mean, can you take a measure of the impact of the COVID infection that the woman has on the unborn child?
Well, that's where the near misses would have come about, or would have been found, is that the woman would have been diagnosed with COVID. She would have been under surveillance, and before anything adverse happened to her baby, the baby would have been delivered. And so that, I say, would be done by fetal surveillance over the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Does COVID infection in the mother always affect the child? I mean, it may not result in COVID placentitis, as you've explained, but does it impact on the child regardless of the level of the severity of the infection?
No, absolutely not. The majority of women pregnant women who get COVID will be fine, and all their babies will be fine too.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from those that are affected in the way we've spoken about.
Are vaccinated pregnant women still at risk of contracting the virus? I assume that's the same as general population, is it? Or
yeah, it gives you massive protection, but equally, it doesn't suggest that you shouldn't abide by the conventional public health advice.
Okay, a question that we get all of the time. Yes. This is around the partners of yeah. pregnant women. So the HSE confirmed that fully vaccinated partners of expectant mothers will not be given additional access to maternity right. hospitals. So no, there's no vaccine bonus there, in other words. And people see that you can dine indoors now. That's your yeah. vaccine bonus when it comes to hospitality if you're fully vaccinated. Like, why can't that happen, that you have a vaccine bonus in maternity hospitals?
Well, the first thing to say is that everybody who works in the maternity services deeply do regret any restrictions that are placed on partners. And they're not placed there for any reason other than to safeguard the maternity environment. So it is a matter of regret. What we have now is we have assurance from all the hospitals that they are complying with the most recent advice. And that allows partners to attend in situations where, and you'll be familiar with that in labour, for the 20-week scan, in any scan where there is an anticipation that there will be adverse outcomes for emergency attendances, and all hospitals are applying with that.
Okay, but they still have discretion, don't they?
They do have discretion, and all hospitals are urged to use their compassion.
But how does it make sense if a partner is fully vaccinated not to allow them into the hospital in other situations?
I suppose that situation will be relatively recent, in the sense that that age group will be only recently vaccinated, and I have no doubt that that will be factored into the approach that hospitals will be adopting.
Mm-hmm. Because they could use their COVID certificate, couldn't they? Uh-huh. For access.
Now, having said that, I would say that the hospital environment is different from a restaurant or a pub environment. By that I mean a pregnant woman can choose not to go into a restaurant and not to go into a pub, but a pregnant woman with complications has got to go into. There is no choice there. So they're not exactly equivalent, really.
Mm-hmm. This is straying slightly out of your area, but going back to the conversation we had with Professor Butler, clearing the way for the vaccination of 12 to 15-year-olds, is that something that you are in favour of in general terms?
That would be outside my area of expertise. I don't have a professional opinion on that, and I would be entirely guided by the advice of professionals such as Karina Butler on that.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us this morning. Director of the HSE National Women and Infants Programme, Peter McKenna. Thank you very much.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.